All right, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the discourse of the beginning of Christ, let us be born on to full growth, which is what we're teaching this year, not laying down again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the baptisms of teaching, the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of dead ones, and of eternal judgment. Now, all of that is ABC. All of that about faith and baptisms and judgment and so on. Those are all beginning teachings for Christians. So let us leave those. We've taught on those enough. Let us leave those and then go on to perfection, which is love. The love is the end of the law. The beginning of the law is worship to God. And he wants our worship, but you don't do it in fact. You do it by faith. In other words, it is in fact to him, because he only accepts faith. And he wants you to not pretend like you're perfect when you're not. So sometimes we're not. And then we confess that. But as long as we worship him in spirit and in truth, that is, by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the truth, that's all he wants. He doesn't want us to say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul and strength, because you never have. The only way you do it is by faith. And you don't love your neighbor as yourself, and the only way you do it is by faith. So even though you're growing in the Lord, let's go on. Let's go on to perfection. Because in the end, your love, before he comes back, will be perfect. Your love will be perfected, and you don't do it. You don't do that. That's by faith also. But he promised that the good work he began, he would surely complete. So we don't have any fear about that, because faith is not me behaving. It's God keeping his promise. Faith is not me behaving. It's God keeping his promise. So my faith is not in my faithfulness. My faith is in his faithfulness. I'm not faithful, and I admit that. I don't have any problem about that. But I'm not discouraged, because those beginning teachings carry me all the way to the end. Faith and then baptisms and so on and so forth, all of those. And now that we're done with judgment and all of that, let's go on to perfection, which is love one another. That's the truth. If you loved just your church, if you love God, and I don't mean just our church here, but just any church, in his church, if you love the brethren, you're already at the end of the law. You've done that. You did it by faith, but that's what he wants. He doesn't want you to do it before he comes back. When he comes back, you will actually experience a new body and a new soul. You only now have a new heart, and your heart has faith in it. It's faith that God will keep his promise. It's faith that God keeps covenant. It's faith that whatever God said he would do, he will surely do, but you can't help him. And he wants you not to help him. He doesn't want you to be good. He wants you to be faithful. And so being full of faith is what he desires. By being good, you've actually disobeyed him, because you're not good. So don't have your own righteousness. Don't try to establish your own righteousness. Let him give it to you as a free gift. So the fact that you fail from day to day and until he comes back, you will. Just keep loving one another by faith. Don't love one another in fact. I don't mean you can't do that. I'm just saying that's going to be spotty. And so you'll not be perfected until he comes back. So perfect love is the day he comes back, then you'll have perfect love for your brothers and sisters. You know, you'll actually feel it and want it and not only believe in it. So let's go on to perfection. Let's go on to what is perfect. That is love. So love, because of the love of God, we have faith in him. Because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have power to do new works, but they're not perfect. They are not perfect. So don't expect that of your brothers and sisters. That's why we can forgive one another when a brother stumbles or falls. Just restore them. Don't criticize them. I mean, you can rebuke them, but do it in love. That's not Christianity. But don't be hard on them. Don't be judging them. Don't look down on them and despise them. They don't know any better. They're just doing what they know. And mostly it's what you grew up on. Mostly your religion, unless it came in the last 20 years or so, your religion was pretty much lukewarm. And it's behave yourself or misbehave and stop attending church. But really, it isn't for those that behave. That's not the gospel. It's for those that misbehave, but have faith that God began a good work, he will surely, certainly complete it. So, let's go on to perfection. What is it? To love one another. What does that mean? Well, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that's not hard. How much do you love yourself? That's how much you'll love your neighbor. If you don't love yourself, you will not love your neighbor. You've got to love yourself as you are, not as you ought to be or could be or should be. That has nothing to do with that. Just accept yourself. That's the only way you can forgive others. If you don't forgive yourself, you're going to have trouble forgiving others. So I can say, I don't know, I'm not perfect in it, but I can say I don't really judge people for what they don't do or do. I don't really care about doing. I'm not into fruit. As far as I know, every other pastor is. They want fruit. I don't want fruit. I don't care about your fruit. I don't care one whit about your fruit. All I care about is, do you know Jesus loves you? And so that won't make you grow. That will make you just don't do anything. Because knowing Jesus loves you, even though you do grow, you're not aware of it. It's hidden. It's hidden. Only God sees it. But when he sees it, just as God has forgiven you, so forgive one another. The same way. As God has loved you, love them. Same way. That's by faith. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to think it. You don't have to, I hope I don't have a negative thought when I'm with you. You will. That's just normal. I hope I won't be envious. Well, you will. I mean, that's silly to say that, because Jesus wants to do it and wants all the credit for that. Is he's the only one that could be perfect, and it's your life. He's not living his own life. He's living your life. If you could get a hold of that the fruit doesn't matter. Of course it does, but let him be the bearer of that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness and self-control. Let him do all those nine fruits, because you can't do them. And even though you do it a little bit, you'll be proud of it, whatever. You'll lose everything you gain. You'll just lose it if you thought it was you. That wasn't you getting better. That was you being deader. Because you need to die to yourself being great and glorious and awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Right? So That's all he is doing. He forgave you in chair 4, but he then cleanses you in chair 6. It's just pointing out sin. And it's just to kill off your flesh so your flesh doesn't have any hope in yourself. So, the more you grow, the more you know, I didn't do that. Because if I'm growing, that was a miracle. Right? And so, let's move on to perfection, meaning we've covered the basic things, faith and baptisms and, you know, repentance and so on and so forth. We've covered all those basic things, and there are 6 of them. We've covered those. Now it's time to move on to have your love be perfected. In other words, if I say to you, I love you with all my heart, soul, and strength, that's not really that's a faith statement. That's not really something that I'm thinking of you always, and I'm not, and you aren't either. And so you have your own life to live, and just as I'm not bothered by God, I won't bother you by God to have you examined. There is a church in town. It's a big one. I guess it's the biggest one in town. And they do examine people publicly in the church. It's awful. But they think they're doing right because they're making people accountable. And they'll call you out for adultery. They'll call you out for lying. They'll call you out. And, you know, the idea sounds neat, but it's absolutely opposite to the gospel. All you can do there is be condemned or delight in the fact that somebody else is on target today. And I'm so glad I came because that was very entertaining, you know, to see that person. But it's not Christianity. Nobody did that in the early church. You can be rebuked, but it has to be quiet between you and God and that person. That's it. And you tell them once, and if they don't receive it, you go back a second time. And so on and so forth. But that's the due process. But it's not something you noise about. And but some churches get carried away. And it's the biggest, I think it's the biggest one in Dallas. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a big one. It's right on the highway. So you can't miss it. But I don't believe in that. That's not Christianity. Christianity is, it's by faith until Jesus comes back. Right? And then when he comes back, you will have a new heart and a new soul and a new mind, and it'll be perfect. Why? Because that's what he came back to give you, deliverance, so that you are no longer part of this world, and now you actually know that, and you can tell. Because when you see the Lord doth not yet appear, what we shall be, we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is, King of kings and Lord of lords. No one has seen him that way. We see him in spirit, by faith, but you don't actually see him. Even if you have a vision, it's not necessarily accurate. So don't rely on the fruit. Every church in town, as far as I know, relies on the fruit, either big numbers or miracles and signs and wonders. They're all hung up on proving that they're Christians by doing all that. It's the opposite of what Jesus wants. What he'd rather have is you be humble and realize whatever has happened to you, it's all God. It's all God. And you're grateful and thankful. Happiness always precedes holiness. Happiness always precedes holiness. So your works do follow. If you're a Christian, you have works. And you know that was the Holy Spirit told me to say that or do that. So I'm not against them. I'm just saying they're not going to be perfect in this world. So now this scripture says, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on. And then he lists the 6 things that you've already have faith and repentance and baptisms and so on and so forth, judgment and so on. That's all coming. And that's good to know for a newborn Christian. You have to know those six things. But once you have those down, now the rest is he's cleansing you from all unrighteousness. Well, that only happens when you realize when he shows you something, he's not saying do something about it. When he shows you something about yourself that is horrifying, you're not amazed. You just go, well, you know, that's possible. I was critical. I was judgmental. I was looking down on despising others, and now I turn out to be a monster myself. You know, it's not a surprise. It's not a surprise. You have to learn, otherwise you'll not witness to anybody, because the people you're witnessing to are in the world. And they have all kinds of awful thoughts that they do or not do. They may not share them, but they have all that. And if you go to them, I'm better than you are, they don't appreciate that. So I haven't committed every sin in the book, whatever that means. But in my inner man, I was waiting for the occasion. You know, it's just, I just haven't gotten there yet. But everything that you experience in Jesus is his love toward you, not your love toward him. I know by faith you love him. But in fact, it leaves a little bit to be desired. And you're not going to heaven without being perfected, and only he can do that. So now, let's talk about what it is like, and all he's talking about is love. Because the end of the law is love. Love fulfills the law. The beginning is worship God who loved you first. That's happiness. But then, do not bog down in religion, because religion will teach you behave yourself. And it's lukewarm because nobody ever has and ever will. And when judgment comes, those that thought they were good or made great sacrifices or were what God wanted, they're going to be surprised. I already know how it's going to come out because I read the Bible, but they'll be shocked because they thought they were better than other people. Well, you're not. You're a nothing. This is the way Paul talks about it. You're a nothing. You not only are a nothing, you have nothing. And not only that, you do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But it isn't just that you didn't do it, you weren't it. You didn't have it in the first place. So you're hypocrites. A hypocrite is someone that is what they're not. A hypocrite is someone that is what you're not. And so don't be a hypocrite. God doesn't want that. What he wants you to do is believe that his love toward you is non-ending. It's unconditional. His love toward you will not go away. Here's the vine, and God the Father, who's the vine dresser, grafts me in. Now my eyes are not on my fruit out here, down at the end of the branch. My eyes are completely on Jesus. Beholding him, we're changed. But I don't look for the change to see if I'm changed. It'd be like planting a seed, and the next day you go out to see if it has roots already, and you pull it up. No, not yet. So you put it back in. That seed will never grow, because you can't keep pulling that out day after day to see how your fruit is going. Well, I must be a Christian. No, there's nothing on that. Well, I'll stick it back in. I must not have faith. No. You have faith, but you have faith in yourself to get it, to produce it. You're not a producer. You're a producee. That is, God gives you this as a free gift. Now, how many know, if you listen to what I say, and you don't have to, I'm not forcing anyone to, but if you listen carefully, God wants you to relax. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He wants to give you rest. Learn of me. Learn of me, that takes time. So that's not just believing in Jesus, that's also being cleansed. And the only thing he's cleansing you is, you're not God, you're not God, you're not God, you're not perfected yet, you're not, you know, you're not what you say you are. And so that humility every day is to realize, God, how much I hear so many sermons and I don't think I've done anything. That's good. That's good that you realize that. I've learned so much and I've done so little. Well, you've probably done nothing because Jesus does it all. Apart from me, you can do. I believe that literally. You can do nothing. Why? You're not perfect. When you're perfect, it'll be easy. Up in heaven, nobody disputes God. Nobody rebels against God. If you did, you're out. But it's not going to happen. Because he already knows from the beginning when he comes back who are his. He knows exactly who are his. Because he can see right through you. And he knows that you have let Jesus keep his promise. He's let Jesus keep his promise. That's powerful. Do you see that? So if Jesus keeps his promise, you don't have to look like a Christian.
Praise the Lord.
You don't have to act like a Christian. You know, you can act, but you do it in faith. So if I say, I love the Lord with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, I'm lying. You don't. Jesus did that for you. He did that on your behalf. In other words, he covered you. You never covered him. You submit to him because what he wants to do is good. All he wants to do is give you good things. He has never wanted you. And you're the one he's building. You're the one he's working on. You're the one that he loves with all his heart, all his soul, all his strength. He loves the Father, but that's his nature. He has life in himself, so he's not worried about resurrections and all that stuff. He knows my Father has this all written out. It's in the Old Testament. Even before the New Testament was written, the Old Testament was sufficient. He just read it by the Spirit. If you read it by the Spirit rather than the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So he read everything. When he had a harlot before him, he did not judge her. And she had many accusers, and he just examined the accusers and said, okay, you can get your stones ready because you've caught her in adultery, and after I hear your testimony, you can go ahead and throw your stones. However, I'm going to examine each one of you and make sure that you haven't done the same thing we're talking about her doing. And so beginning with the oldest down to the youngest, they all went away. And the woman asked him, he said to her, where are your accusers? I can't do this because death penalty requires at least two witnesses. If I don't have two, it's not confirmed. So I saw it, me too. You got to have at least two. So there's much more than two. They rigged this up that so that they'd have plenty of people with tape recorders and, you know, movie cameras and whatever to make sure this woman was caught in adultery. I mean, we saw her, definitely. So Jesus didn't do that. And he said, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He knew she sinned. Go and sin no more. He knew she sinned. But he didn't judge the sin. Why? Because mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Or actually the word there is makarioi, which means exults. Happy, happy. I mean, incredibly happy. You have to jump up in the air, completely turn around, land on your feet and say hallelujah. I mean, that's how excited you are. The fact that the law cannot condemn anybody here for what you've said or done. Now, we do it. Well, then you didn't act by faith. You just need to act by faith and say, sorry, what I just said, I take it back. I take it back because I had no right to do that. I shouldn't have judged you because if I judge you, I have to be judged too. Just like Jesus examining each of those witnesses. If you committed adultery with her, maybe he wrote something in the sand. now this is not true, but I guess what he wrote in there is the date which you slept with her or slept with somebody else. I mean, he wrote something down that convicted them in the sand and then wiped it away. So something said, don't judge lest you be judged. Don't do it. And they all knew, we got her this time. We knew this was a harlot and she needs to be stoned. I wouldn't stone people that do wrong. And I can just tell you as a pastor, I don't judge people. I don't care what they've done. Meaning I care, but I only care that it manifests Jesus, not that you did it. If it manifests Jesus, praise God. Just do something that's helpful, that's beneficial. Always make everybody else greater than yourself. Always make everybody else greater than yourself. They're not greater. They're just the same as you. But if you have the joy of the Lord, you want them to have the joy of the Lord. So that's just done by faith. I want everyone to know, I'm not judging you. I make a judgment about you, but I'm not looking down on, despising you for saying and doing something wrong. Amen? Does that make sense? Now, this particular passage, we're in Hebrews 6, and we've just read the first verse or two. Those few verses are, you've begun in the Spirit, now let's end in the Spirit. You made a good start. You believe that Jesus cannot lie. I do not believe that you can catch Jesus on one lie. You certainly couldn't prove it, but you cannot catch him on any lie. I mean, they accused him of being a blasphemer and so on and so forth, but you can't catch him. The guy even died for the people that, you know, he was to judge as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not coming back to judge the wicked. He's coming back to reward the faithful who believed that he said the truth, which sets them free. So truth sets you free. So we love one another, right? This is the end of the law. The end of the law is love one another. And love your neighbor as yourself. You just can say it by faith. I love you. Want to start with me? You can start with me if you want to, because it doesn't make any difference. Because we can love anybody. I mean, even enemies. You can pray for your enemies. You can bless your enemies. Because it says so in the Bible. So by faith, I can do it. But I didn't do it. Jesus did it before the foundation of the world. He lived my life before there even was a world. There's no new heavens and new earth. That's later. But in the beginning, before there was anything, he already lived his life. The Father laid him down. It says he's like a stone. He's like an institution. He's going to institute something. And when he came, he only taught one side. He didn't teach the other side. The side he taught was not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he's coming back, he'll be the Lion of Judah. Now he's the Lamb. He only taught one thing, worship him. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about loving your neighbor. If you do, you take your eyes off of him. Don't worry about your neighbor. By the way, neighbors are impossible to love. I mean, neighbors are impossible to love. Sooner or later, you live with a neighbor for a few minutes or an hour or so, you will find something that's wrong. Because you just can't, no one can bear that. So, I don't do it. I literally don't do it, but it's not that I don't have stupid thoughts. Peggy knows all the stupid thoughts I have because I say them. But I'm wrong. And she can't tell whether I'm kidding or not, but I just say stuff sometimes. And it's not of God. It's just saying stuff. But over the years, I've learned, don't do that. Just stay it in faith. I love you, Peggy. You're the best. And so on. I don't have to mean it. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to do it. I just say it. Well, that's not fair. Yeah, it is. Because one thing it does is you realize if you're a pastor, if you're a teacher, you're doing a lousy job. Because you're talking, but you're not walking the talk. And I just tell you, until Jesus comes back again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, no one will have a perfect soul and body. No one. No one. And the only thing that you do as a believer is believe what he said and repeat what he said. Just act on what he said. So am I happy? Yes. Why? Not because anything that was done to me or that I did. I'm happy that he can't lie. The whole faith is Jesus can't lie.
Hallelujah.
When he says he loves you, he means it. Now, I can love you, but it's with words. Do I really understand it? No. Do I really want it? No. Do I really feel it? No. Do I really behave it? No. So all those no's are normal. That is a normal Christian walk. I'm just telling you that the writer to Hebrews, whoever he is, that writer, most people think it's Paul, it doesn't matter. But the writer to Hebrews, he didn't think he was perfect either. And he said so. So you don't have to be perfect looking to be perfect. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to be perfect looking to be perfect. I am perfect in God's sight. And he promised that the good work he began, he will surely complete it. There's no, I don't doubt that at all. That the good work he began in me, he'll complete it, and I'll be perfect like all of the rest of you. I won't be better. I will not be better. I'll be exactly the same as you. Why? Because we're all in the same boat. We're all in Jesus' boat. And so I'm not really worried about the future. I don't even think about it. I'm not even concerned what he's going to do when he comes back. I know, I read about it. But I'm not even concerned. The only reason I read about it so that I don't have to pay attention to it when it comes is, oh yeah, this is going to come, this is going to come. And it's all on my favor. Everything Jesus did, everything he ever said was all in your favor. Nothing was there to burden you. Nothing was there to make you keep a law. You cannot keep a law. Under the law, no one, nothing is made perfect. Laws, they tell you what to do, but they don't forgive you for not. And they don't enable you to. But Jesus does. He does all of that. He not only forgives you, then he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, then he perfects you, then he marries you, then he gives you the gift of salvation, then he also gives you the inheritance, and then he gives you the prize. You got everything from Jesus. And you are the new heaven and the new earth. It comes down from heaven. That's you. But don't think about it, because you can't think about it. What's a new heaven look like? It's silly to even think about it. Whatever it is, I believe it. God wrote it down, I believe it. So whatever the new heaven is, it's us loving one another. It's us loving God with all our heart and soul and strength. Right. But then you can do it in heaven. But remember, your life, even in heaven, your life is derivative. Because you'll never have life in yourself like Jesus did, or the Father, or the Holy Spirit. They have life in themselves. So they're not at all nervous about the earth. They know exactly before this whole thing started how many will be saved, how many will not be saved. And all that God did, he didn't predestinate somebody by saying, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven. All he did was, can I create this person and what they do won't harm my deal? Because anyone that harms his deal, he'll stop it. Build the Tower of Babel, stopped it. Whenever you see someone going too far, Adolf Hitler, stop it. Whenever he goes too far, and we're about to be there right now, because the biggest tribulation is ahead of us. You've never seen it. It's the most horrendous, horrendous thing that ever happened. And it's going to happen to Israel. Israel is mystery, the mystery Babylon, that's Israel. And it's going to happen to her. The whole world will be against Israel. They'll all join together because they're humanists. They're trying to be man in his best state. But Jesus said man in his best state, what? All together, nothing. It's nothing. A man at his best state, there is no such thing. Man has never been at his best state. It's a gift. You have a good God. You have a God that loves you just as you are. So forgive others as he's forgiven you. Just say it. Don't have to feel it or anything. As a matter of fact, you won't feel it. As a matter of fact, the moment you say it, you'll be proud that you said it, and you'll also be depressed that you didn't mean it. I mean, it doesn't make any difference how you react. Just do it, because God said, say it. I love you. Peggy, you're the best. No one could be better than you. You're exactly what I needed. Thank you for being you. You're a gift of God to me, and I'm a gift of God to you. That's the way to talk. And I do it every day. I do that every day. Why? Because she forgets. She needs to have constant reminders. That's one thing that surprised me when we got married, is she wanted to say, I love you, after the ceremony on a daily basis. It's like, we're German. We don't do that. I never remember my mom and dad saying anything in public like that, you know. And I didn't know what happened in private, so I didn't have any clue as to that. We're German. We don't do that. You know, it's just my dad just raus mit ya. You know, get out of here. Get out. And so he's just a German and, you know, a hypocrite and a liar and so on and so forth, like all of us. Like all of us. Let God be true. Amen. Every man a liar. So the only thing that overcomes it is faith. I believe that God loves me, and not only does he love me as I am, still a sinner. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. But he also then, after I'm comfortable with that, after I'm comfortable, he has forgiven all my sins. I don't care what sin I sin, it's forgivable. That doesn't mean I should sin. I just means I don't care what I've done. I know that God will forgive me. So I'm done with that now. Then he's going to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Well, that's not happened to anybody here. He hasn't cleansed you from all unrighteousness. But after that, he's going to perfect you in love when he comes back. The minute he comes back, he'll perfect you in love. The second he comes back, he's coming back for a harlot church? No, he's coming back for a bride, without spot, without wrinkle, without any stain, without any blemish. Well, I can't do that. He's the only one that can do it. And if he says it, I believe him. So that believing is all to our faith. So here's the vine. The Father grafts me into the... I'm just a branch. I didn't lie on the ground and say, I hope I can graft myself in. Nobody grafted yourself into Jesus. The Father had him die for you so you could realize, wow, that guy, that's cool that he did that, because he must like me a little bit. No, he likes you completely. The Father himself loves you. And so the Father says, because I love you, I'm going to graft you in unless you say no. I'm going to graft you in unless you say no. Well, the Jewish people he couldn't talk to, because the Jewish people thought they'd already done everything. That's why they're going to be judged. That's why the whole world will go against them. Because there are the harlot that went into Babylon, then Persia, then Greece. Now Rome, Rome, Rome. And before that, it was Egypt. And after that was Assyria. So Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, Rome, Rome. Ancient Rome, medieval Rome, now modern Rome. So these all will be judged. But every time God judges somebody, he always brings out a remnant that he knows. I mean, he knew this ahead of time. I'll bring out a remnant. After I chasten Israel, I'll then bring out a remnant and forgive them for all their sins. And they're called a remnant, a small remnant, that comes out of Israel after his judgment of them in the Great Tribulation, which is the greatest thing that ever happened on the earth, to judge somebody. And God is watching that, and busy with his marriage with us because he just come back for us like a thief in the night. Do you know what that means? That means the thief comes at the hour you don't expect. Now, they weren't watching the tribulation. They were aware of it, but they weren't watching it. But immediately, God just shows up like, whoa, what are you doing here? I'm coming back. Oh, what, don't you want to deal with the devil? No. No, I'm not really interested in the devil. I'm interested in marrying you. And then after that, I'll deal with the devil. Wow. So after he's all done and he's licked up the whole thing, then he then begins to judge. And the first one he's going to judge is the Antichrist himself. So the Antichrist is the one that just arranged the whole world with somebody else. There's the false prophet. And they arranged to, let's have Jacob's trouble. Let's trouble Jacob. We don't like him. You don't like him. Let's all gather together. There are people on earth today that don't like the Jewish people. Not for any reason. It's just because they're Jewish. just because they're, you know, braggadocious or whatever the reason is. Maybe they're too upfront, you know, whatever. They don't like them. Because they are a hope that this world could have a good relationship with God. Did any one of them ever love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength? Never. Have Christians improved over them? Never. So you, today, you have to learn to walk by faith. Everybody hates this message, but it's the only good news on the earth today. It's the only thing that God accepts, is that you have faith that you can't be good, but God was good for you. That's it. That's it. So this message, 500 years ago, this year, 500 years ago, Martin Luther broke away from the Roman Church, not because he hated them. He broke away because he thought the Pope would probably agree with him. He thought he has bad advisors around him. So he wrote the 95 Theses against the Roman Catholic Church because he thought it wasn't the Pope. If I tell the Pope the truth, he'll join me. But instead, it didn't turn out that way. So he got up this idea, wow, how can I be right? Everybody for 2,000 years has believed in this thing. How can I be right? Well, you can't. You can't. So this is a miracle now that with only a few years left, God is going to come back and show his goodness to anybody that believes on him. That's all. All you can do is believe on him. You don't have to actually do it. You can actually believe it. That's called imputed righteousness. Imputation means that the judge knows you committed the murder, the foul deed, whatever, but I forgive you. Just I say to you, you're righteous if you believe that I have the right to forgive any sinner at any time. Show him chanan, which is grace, favor, or show him mercy, which is chesed in Hebrew. And so he can do that anytime he wants to because he's reserved for himself that royal prerogative right to overcome anything on earth anytime he wants to. If I want to, after he gave the law to Moses, he already knew no one would keep this law. He already knew no one would keep this law. No Gentile, no Jew, no nobody. He knew that, and so he said, I reserve for myself the right to forgive anyone, any sinner, anyone that has sin on him. I can forgive him if I want to. Well, he did. He forgave Jesus. He didn't count his sins. Rose up from the dead. Why? Jesus didn't even sin. But he forgave him, meaning, I'll put all my hope in my son Jesus so that you can believe his words. That the holiness of God mitigated, it's lessened, it's lenient, through the mercy of Jesus, according to the power of the Holy Spirit, is God's power to save anybody he wants. So he doesn't use the judgment to condemn you. He uses the mercy to forgive you before you could be condemned according to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you have the resurrected life on this world. because you have the power of the Holy Spirit. You can actually be good now. You can actually be good now. Right, Judy? That's powerful. If that's true, you can say to your husband, I married well. You don't have to mean it. You don't have to examine it. You don't have to prove it. You just say it. I married well. You're a blessing to me. And that builds up the other person. The other person's fooled by it completely. They believe you sound sincere. And so on. It doesn't matter because we're not judging your feelings or your thoughts or your emotions or your will or your desires. We're not measuring any of that. Jesus already did all that. So since that's the case, I'm a new creation. You're a new creation. That's the case. How? You just believed it. Well, what made you do it? Faith comes by hearing. I just heard it, and one day I'd said, you know what? This is the truth. And I began to believe it, and it not only works, I didn't even think it would work. I had no faith in that at all. I just liked the idea that it sounded good, and it sounds like you forgive sinners, and it's me. But I liked it, and I went, you know, this is good. I should have done this a long time ago. This is better than the way I've been doing it. And I've been happy ever since. Literally. And I am. Peggy can tell you, I'm happy. She can't think of something that will get me down. Because I'll never leave her. I'm never going to forsake her, no matter what. This is the wife of my youth, and I'm sticking with her, no matter what. I want to kill her sometimes, but I'm not doing that. Did you understand what I said? So it's faith. Faith, faith, faith. So let's leave that behind. Faith active in love. Let's only speak of love. This is what this chapter is all about. Let's talk about love. Here it is. Let's see. And this eternal judgment, that was the last thing he talked about, we will do. All of that we will do. If indeed God permits, for those being once enlightened and having tasted of the heavenly gift, so the gift is first, and becoming partakers of the Holy Spirit, we've received the Holy Spirit, you do it by faith, and having tasted the good word of God and the works of power, so there it is. There's the holiness, there's the mercy, there's the power. Of the coming age. There's an age that's coming, and it's not far off. And falling away, it is impossible for them again to renew to repentance. In other words, you can't. Once somebody turns away from God, it's impossible for us. It's not for God. God never, ever stops hope. We come up to the last moment of a situation and think God isn't going to come through, but he comes through at the last moment, right? I mean, it's like, God, I don't even deserve that because I've been ugly for the last, you know, umpteen months or years or decades or whatever. You don't have to shape up. God doesn't want you to shape up because you can't. You can't shape up. Only God is already in shape. Only God is already in shape. Will this kill your flesh? Yes. When I say to you, I love you, it kills my flesh. Because my flesh doesn't feel that at all. My understanding isn't like that at all. My desire isn't, I don't even want to say it. But I say it, and that kills my flesh. That's how you die daily. I die daily, meaning I don't pay attention to what I think, feel, want. And therefore, I'm happy all the time. Why? Because it's just a decision that I make that God didn't lie to me. If God didn't lie to me, I don't have to lie to Peggy or to anybody else. So it's genuine. It's genuine. And so, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm not even trying to be perfect. I never look at my fruit. I never see how well I'm doing. I'm not counting. I don't have a record. But other people think this and that, and they're both wrong. I mean, the one that think I'm no good, they're wrong. And the one that thinks I'm good, they're wrong. The only one that's good is God. There is none good but God. There is no one good but God. There's no one good but God. So how can you be good if only God is good? If only God is good, how can you be good? So you can't. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anybody here who's trying to be good. I'm just trying to tell you, it ain't going to happen. It'll never actually work. So he's just trying to get you, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's just trying to get you to rest in what he's already accomplished for you in the past. So you have a perfect marriage, you have a perfect family, you have a perfect everything, and nothing looks perfect. This world stinketh if you look at it with your natural eye. So I don't do that. I'm not going to look at it that way. Even my enemies, he says, pray for them, bless them, love them. Don't pay them back for what. Don't give people what they deserve. Give people what they don't deserve. So that's the whole thing of Christianity. It's a religion of the future. But I can live it presently by faith. I can live it right now. It's not harmful to me. If I take a loss, so what? If I make a gain, so what? It's all a gift. It's all a gift. If something good happens to me, thank you, Jesus. If something bad happens to me, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because it'll all work out for my good. Why? Because he promised in his word, he loves me unconditionally. With no conditions at all. So I love Peggy unconditionally. Does that mean I expect her to love me back? No, I don't. I don't care that she loves me back. I just say it to her. That's my job. My job is not to convince her that I love her. It's just to say it. Only God can convict her heart that I mean it, but I don't mean it in the sense that you can rely on it. I mean it in the sense that I have faith that God can't lie. You see, you don't really want people to love you. You think you do, but you don't. And that's what the deception in the world today is. If we all gather together, we'll all love one another. Such nonsense. If we just teach people that war is no good, they won't do it. It's nonsense. We haven't stopped the wars, and we're not going to stop the wars. Not until Jesus comes back. So if I teach them that, you know, smoking is bad, they won't do it. That's nonsense. Nothing like that has ever happened in the world. People just do things irrationally. They don't do it because they were educated. So the whole modern world is built on a fallacy that if you knew what God's will is, you'd want to do it. That's a fallacy. If you wanted to do it, you'd be able to do it. That's a fallacy. First of all, you'll never know what good and evil is because only God defines it. How is it that God, being good, perfect, no sin at all, would love you, a sinner? How is God able to exalt you up until you marry his son Jesus? How is God able to do that when he hates sin? Because he had Jesus die for it. So, I will die for anybody who hates me and despises me and misunderstands me. Why? Because it's nothing, including Al-Qaeda and homosexuality and all the fads that are out there today. They're nothing new under the sun. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I'm not looking for happiness, yet I'm happy. But I'm not looking for it. I believe that God's loving me. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. I trust in the Lord, meaning what he wrote, I believe. That's all I can do, is respond to what he wrote in the book. It's not active in my part, because all I'm doing is saying, I don't think he lied. How did you get that? I don't even know, but I know this. I do. I believe that. I believe that it is possible to have a God who's good, who's perfect, who has no flaws and mistakes. Just like little kids believe that their teachers are wonderful until they experience they're not. I mean, they just do. They believe their parents are wonderful until they experience they're not. Then we don't know what to do. Well, it's easy, just by faith. Don't wait for heaven to come. Make it happen today. Make heaven happen today. By what? Words. Just words. You don't have to. You can do things, but the doing will never be perfect. So just know that. So be comfortable no matter how people are toward you. That's Christianity. Christianity has nothing to do with going to heaven. It has nothing to do with avoiding hell. It has to do with heaven has already started for us. I'm already heavenly minded. I buy everything that's written in Old Testament and New Testament, but I read it by the spirit of the law, not by the letter of the law. So I'm happy. Even in this rotten world, I'm not unhappy. Why? Because this is the world that there is. This is the world that is. And God knows I need it. Otherwise, he would save you and immediately you go to heaven. The minute he saves you, well, you don't want to be in this world, he'd yank you out. But he left us here to teach us. He learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. How did he learn it? He saw the kingdom of heaven and he went on earth and there wasn't any. There was no fear of God. There was nothing. God was not feared by anybody on earth. They were all doing their own thing. And people that said they were lying. And Jesus said it. You're hypocrites. You are what you're not. But he wasn't mad at them. In fact, he died for everybody right there. Not just those people that are alive at that time. He died for everybody that's ever lived. So if anyone ever believed that we have a God who is only good and no one else is, that's it. That's where it comes from, because that produces happiness in me. That we have a God, he's not like me, but he is like himself. And he promised great promises in the Bible. And there's no religion that has greater promises than we have. None. They all want you to pay for your sins. They all want you to behave. This is not behavioral modification. This is God just loving you as you are. That's powerful. That's precious. So God wants you to understand Christianity is not what you've been taught by looking, by observing. That's self-evident truth. Somebody can come up with that. But this is truth, not self-evident. Not self-evident. It's an unseen world. It's a world you've never been to. No one here has ever been to heaven. No one. I know there's stories. But I'm just telling you, I don't care about those stories. All I care about is the word right here that we have. So I'm not shaken by miracles, signs, wonders, and so on and so forth. I believe they happen, but I'm not really interested in them. I have no interest in them. It's always for an outsider. Those miracles are always for outsiders, not the insiders. Now the church is the one that's running after them. That's because they don't have faith. That's because they don't really believe that God is who he says he is. You remember Thomas? The Thomas said, you know, I'm not going to believe in him. You guys all believed in him because you were here. But if I don't stick my hand in his side and I don't put my fingers in his palms, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it for myself. So when Thomas did see him, he said, you know, here I am, Thomas. Next week, that was a week later, when he saw him, he then believed, and he announced that, I believe. And Jesus said to him, it's not because you saw that you believe. Even without seeing, you believe. That's greater. So, believing is seeing. But it's a promissory note. Promissory notes take time. Promissory notes, people don't keep promises. Not everyone keeps a promise. Some do. But if they do, give thanks to God for that. Because it's rare, especially in these wild urban days. It's wild because we're all living together and we see too much and know too much. This young generation right now, the millennials, they actually are open to the gospel. Even though you see them walking around and yelling and screaming and so on, you actually, if you talk to them one-on-one, they're very open because they don't know the truth. And Christianity has not demonstrated the truth of God. And so, we were watching something last night on the video thing, whatever it is. And these two black women were talking against, this was funny, they were talking against the black leaders. He said, you blacks, you know, when they're all talking about pulling the statues down instead of getting us a job and stuff, that's evil. Those leaders are no good. And they were just, it was funny as all get out to watch them rant and lave. And the other lady, all she said is, uh-huh, yeah, that's it. You know, and so it was great. And so they're worrying more about not giving us black people the job. Said, when have the black people ever given us anything? It's just talk. There's nothing. These leaders are no good. And she just ratted on him. It was funny. It was ridiculous. But I thought that was funny. Anyway, how many know that God can do anything he wants to do at any time?
Amen.
And if he wants to raise up people that, you know, should be grateful that, you know, we're this way and that way and so on. No, he can raise up anybody, anywhere, anytime. If he can save me, he can save you. So I don't have any doubts about anyone, anywhere, at any time. That's why I think I'm alive, because I'm a lover. I'm not. I don't have an agenda. I don't have two agendas. I just preach this truth, and that's it. And not a lot of fluff. Nothing that needs to go with it. If it does, praise the Lord. But and they do. But I didn't do anything. He just said do that, and I did it, and so on and so forth. So yes, things can happen, but you better do it by faith. Why? Because that's all there is. All you have is, do you believe God cannot lie? Do you believe God keeps covenant? When he makes a covenant, swears with his right hand lifted up to Abraham, everything that he told Abraham will come to pass, literally. You'll actually see it with your eyes. It doth not yet appear. But when he appeareth, you shall see him as he is. And he who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. I believe that. I believe that's true. Now, let's have a couple of testimonies today. Who has a testimony? I believe everything you said, Pastor, because I've experienced it myself. I wouldn't just believe it by hearing it, but I've experienced that myself, is that there's hope in this world.
Amen.
Faith, hope, love. Now we're talking about love. Being able to love one another, and he's not going to come back for a church that doesn't love one another. That's a glorious church. So, how many have a testimony? Hey, I experienced that myself. A miracle happened in my life. Okay. Who else? Back. Who else? One. Two. Three. Okay. Why? Thank you. Four. Five. Okay. These miracles are powerful. Now, who would like to volunteer one that you experience that God can change anything around the way it was now this way? Don't take a long time, but just say, that happened to me. Now I'm happy and I used to not be. Now I'm free and I used to not be. Now I'm not worried. I used to worry all the time. Everyone in the world is stressed. That's why the medical profession is doing so well, because everyone is all stressed out. It's all worried about anything. You don't need all that stuff. You just need faith.